Today is Friday, February 14th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s confirmation as Trump's HHS Secretary and the Fascist Assault on Public Health by Evan Blake. The confirmation of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as Donald Trump's health secretary marks a critical milestone in the deepening war on public health and the consolidation of a fascist government in the United States. The most notorious purveyor of anti-vaccine disinformation in the world is now directly in charge of the public health institutions of the American state, whose influence extends globally. As head of the Department of Health and Human Services, the HHS, Kennedy will dictate policy and funding for 11 critical public health agencies, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, National Institutes of Health, the NIH, Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the CMS. Under his leadership, the stated aim of these agencies will shift from preventing disease to deliberately creating the conditions for pathogens to flourish. Alongside the world's richest man, Elon Musk, Kennedy will soon embark upon his long-standing plan to gut each of these agencies as part of the financial oligarchy's broader mission to destroy all remaining vestiges of social programs won by the working class through decades of struggle. Kennedy's anti-science and anti-vaccine record is too voluminous to describe in detail here, but certain key facts stand out. For decades, he has promoted conspiracy theories and quack science, including long-debunked claims that vaccines cause autism and other developmental disorders. As chairman of the misnamed Children's Health Defense since 2015, Kennedy has filed dozens of lawsuits against the very public health agencies he will now oversee. Due to the group's lobbying efforts, multiple states have loosened vaccination requirements, prompting a resurgence of the long-eliminated measles in recent years, as well as whooping cough and other vaccine-preventable illnesses. Kennedy has campaigned against water fluoridation, a practice proven to reduce dental decay, and has questioned the necessity of pasteurizing milk, a process that has saved countless lives by preventing foodborne illnesses. He has pushed HIV/AIDS denialism, including in a 2021 book where he questioned, quote, the theology that HIV is the sole cause of AIDS, end quote. In 2019, Kennedy was implicated in the deaths from measles of 83 people, almost all children, in Samoa, after he fueled vaccine hesitancy on the island amid a devastating outbreak of the disease. As head of CHD at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, Kennedy amplified numerous conspiracies surrounding COVID-19, earning him a spot on the disinformation dozen list of those most responsible for spreading anti-vaccine disinformation. Alongside other far-right influencers, he promoted the quack remedies of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, while presenting the life-saving COVID vaccines as more harmful than good. As a result, he bears enormous responsibility for the relatively low vaccination rates in the U.S., which caused hundreds of thousands of preventable deaths. In May 2021, when over 600 Americans were officially dying of COVID-19 every day, Kennedy and Children's Health Defense filed a petition to the FDA to, quote, revoke emergency use authorizations for existing COVID vaccines and refrain from approving and licensing them, end quote. Throughout the subsequent period, Kennedy vocally opposed vaccine mandates, temporary lockdowns, masking, and every other public health measure known to save lives. He oversaw the filing of nearly 30 lawsuits by CHD since 2020, challenging vaccine mandates and public health policies. In a fascistic twist on the Wuhan lab lie, in 2023, Kennedy developed the novel anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that SARS-CoV-2 was, quote, ethnically targeted to attack Caucasians and black people, end quote. He stated, quote, the people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese, end quote, suggesting a conspiracy between Jewish and Chinese scientists to sicken and kill Christians. Kennedy will soon be joined at the hip with Musk, a purveyor of eugenicist and fascist ideology. Their shared mission will be to utilize the unconstitutional auspices of the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, to steer their wrecking ball towards what were once the world's preeminent public health agencies. The centerpiece of DOGE's plans to slash trillions from the federal budget is the evisceration of the deeply popular programs Medicare and Medicaid, upon which over 100 million Americans rely for health care. Working with DOGE, Kennedy also plans to fire untold numbers of public health workers throughout the HHS and its subsidiary agencies. At a November 2023 anti-vaccine conference, Kennedy stated that he would fire 600 NIH workers, adding, quote, "We're going to give infectious disease a break for about 8 years," end quote. Last Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Trump administration has imminent plans to cut thousands of positions at the HHS, CDC, NIH, FDA, and CMS, only a foretaste of the jobs bloodbath to come. The implications of all these deeply reactionary policies are far-reaching and ominous. Kennedy takes the helm of the HHS under conditions in which the highly pathogenic avian influenza, the H5N1 bird flu, has been spreading among poultry and dairy cattle across the U.S. for over a year, in the process likely infecting hundreds of farm workers. Just last week, the more dangerous D11 genotype of bird flu, which recently killed a Louisiana man and placed a Canadian teenager on life support, was detected among dairy herds in Nevada. The U.S. is presently mired in its worst flu season since 2017, with the CDC estimating that upwards of 650,000 people have been hospitalized this winter. Scientists have repeatedly warned of the dangers of genetic reassortment between seasonal and bird flu, which could produce the capability of human-to-human transmission in the latter. Already in the first month of the Trump administration, an unprecedented gag order has been imposed on public health agencies, with thousands of web pages scrubbed of vital public health information. Last week, the White House announced a nearly 50% cut to the NIH's reimbursement rate for research facilities and administration costs, which will have untold consequences for scientific research across the country. The elevation of Kennedy to head the HHS is the logical extension of the bipartisan assault on public health throughout the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, which only intensified under the Biden administration. Biden's normalization of a forever COVID policy of perpetual waves of mass infection, death, and debilitation with long COVID, which killed nearly 1 million Americans on his watch, cultivated the political climate in which Kennedy's anti-science positions gained traction. As with all of Trump's cabinet appointments, the Democrats put up no real opposition to Kennedy's Senate confirmation and issued no calls for the population to mobilize against Trump's efforts to destroy public health, overthrow the Constitution, and create a fascist dictatorship. Not a single Democrat rebuffed Kennedy's lies, repeated twice that his May 2021 petition to the FDA was limited to the vaccines for children, and that this was because science supposedly showed that COVID-19 is harmless to children. In reality, COVID-19 has officially killed over 1,000 children in the U.S., with the real figure well above 2,000, and more than 1 million children in the U.S. are now suffering from long COVID. These basic facts are suppressed by the Democratic Party due to its culpability in this needless death and debilitation. The son of Senator Robert F. Kennedy and nephew of President John F. Kennedy, RFK Jr. was clearly deeply traumatized by their assassinations in 1968 and 1963, respectively. He started using heroin at the age of 15 and was addicted for the next 14 years. In a letter published on the eve of Kennedy's Senate confirmation hearings, his cousin, Carolyn, wrote that in college he, quote, "enjoyed showing off how he put baby chickens and mice in the blender to feed his hawks," end quote, in a, quote, "perverse scene of despair and violence," end quote. In a sense, Kennedy's life and political trajectory embody the political, social, and cultural degeneration of the United States. While his father and uncle represented the height of post-war American liberalism and reformism, Kennedy's alliance with Trump signals the descent into fascist barbarism. A critical feature of fascism is the rejection of modernity, the Enlightenment, and a scientific materialist world outlook, all of which found their highest expression in the development of Marxism starting in the mid-19th century. In his monumental June 1933 essay on the rise of fascism in Germany, What is National Socialism?, Leon Trotsky, the great co-leader of the October 1917 Russian Revolution, wrote, quote, "Fascism has opened up the depths of society for politics. Today, not only in peasant homes, but also in city skyscrapers, there lives alongside of the 20th century the 10th or the 13th. 100 million people use electricity and still believe in the magic power of signs and exorcisms. The Pope of Rome broadcasts over the radio about the miraculous transformation of water into wine. Movie stars go to mediums. Aviators who plot miraculous mechanisms created by man's genius wear amulets on their sweaters. What inexhaustible reserves they possess of darkness, ignorance, and savagery. Despair has raised them to their feet. Fascism has given them a banner. Everything that should have been eliminated from the national organism in the form of cultural excrement in the course of the normal development of society, has now come gushing out from the throat. Capitalist society is puking up the undigested barbarism. Such is the physiology of National Socialism. End quote. Today, alongside the staggering technological advances in computing and artificial intelligence, medical breakthroughs like mRNA vaccines, gene therapy, and more, American imperialism is puking up the barbarians Kennedy, Trump, and Musk under the Orwellian banner, Make America Healthy Again. By enabling the spread of diseases through a deliberate rejection of science, the American ruling class is openly sanctioning a eugenicist policy of natural selection in which those no longer deemed productive, the elderly and disabled, are sacrificed on the altar of profit. The working class cannot and will not accept the decimation of its living standards and a return to the Dark Ages. The war on public health, science, and all the social gains won through prior generation social struggles will inevitably confront growing opposition and resistance. This must be guided by a socialist leadership fighting to put an end to imperialist war and dictatorship, and which aims to rebuild society on the basis of social needs, including a vast expansion of public health resources internationally. Zelensky to meet with Trump officials following Putin-Trump phone call, by Jason Malinowski. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is set to meet this week with several Trump administration officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and Trump's Special Envoy for Russia and Ukraine, Keith Kellogg, at the Munich Security Conference from February 14th through 16th. The meeting between U.S. officials and the Zelensky government will take place on the heels of Trump's surprise phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Following the call, Trump announced that the, quote, lengthy and highly productive call, end quote, had resulted in the two sides agreeing to begin negotiations to end the over three-year-long NATO proxy war. According to Trump, he and Putin are to meet soon in person, likely in Saudi Arabia. There are no indications that either the EU or Ukraine will be directly involved in the negotiations. Also on Wednesday, the U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth declared that the war in Ukraine, quote, must end, end quote. Hegseth ruled out NATO membership for Ukraine and dismissed a return to its pre-2014 borders as, quote-unquote, unrealistic. Both demands have hitherto been central tenets of the policies of U.S. imperialism and NATO more broadly in the conflict with Russia. Hegseth called upon the EU to secure Ukraine's security. At the same time, he insisted that if NATO troops are deployed, quote, as peacekeepers to Ukraine at any point, they should be deployed as part of a non-NATO mission, and they should not be covered under Article 5 of the NATO Treaty, end quote. Article 5 stipulates that any attack on the territory or armed forces of a NATO member state constitutes an attack on all member states. Thus far, the Zelensky regime has reacted to the Trump-Putin phone call by attempting to save face, portraying itself as an equal partner in the proposed negotiations. Zelensky stated on social media, quote, I had a long and detailed conversation with President Trump. I appreciate his genuine interest in our shared opportunities and how we can bring about real peace together. We discussed many aspects, diplomatic, military, and economic, and President Trump informed me about what Putin told him. We believe that America's strength, together with Ukraine and all our partners, is enough to push Russia to peace, end quote. Despite its claims of being ready, quote, to work with, end quote, the Trump administration, the recent turn of events has clearly deepened an already severe crisis for the Zelensky government. On Tuesday, Ukrainian Defense Minister Rustem Umerov publicly contradicted Hegseth's statement that NATO was not in Ukraine's future. He emphasized, quote, You need to get used to any kind of statements. Our position is always unchanged. We want to be a NATO country. We will be a NATO country, end quote. Leading up to the call, Trump had made several demands for Ukraine to pay the U.S. in the form of its rare earth minerals in exchange for continued U.S. support of the ongoing NATO proxy war and the puppet Zelensky regime. On Tuesday, Trump announced that in addition to a Zelensky-Vance meeting, he would be dispatching Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent to work out an official deal with Zelensky to secure rare earth minerals for continued U.S. support. As the WSWS has explained, to the extent that Trump and sections of the U.S. ruling class seek a settlement of the conflict, it is because of tactical divisions over the focus of U.S. war policy. Trump's stated aim is to expand the territory of the U.S., including through the annexation of Canada and the seizure of Greenland and Panama in the Americas and Gaza in the Middle East. In his justification for the grab for Greenland, Trump has bluntly stated that the Arctic is a central battleground in the U.S. conflict with Russia and China, Within this context, any settlement of the war in Ukraine would be of a temporary and tactical character, aimed at ensuring a focus of U.S. imperialism on other battlefields in an emerging imperialist redivision of the world. Trump's bold-faced attempt to seize control of Ukraine's mineral wealth is an open admission of the geostrategic and economic interests of U.S. imperialism behind a war that has already claimed the lives of hundreds of thousands. Ukraine reportedly holds Europe's largest reserves of titanium, along with significant uranium deposits. Zelensky also raised the prospect of using Ukraine's underground gas storage facilities to store U.S. liquefied natural gas, which has been a central component of Trump's energy policy during both of his presidencies, as the U.S. seeks to completely box out Russia from the European energy market while advancing its own interests in the liquefied natural gas sector. In an interview with Reuters last week, Zelensky responded positively to Trump's rare earth minerals demands, stating, quote, "If we are talking about a deal, then let's do a deal. We are only for it," end quote. At the same time, he is calling for security guarantees from Western imperialism as part of any deal to ensure the continued existence of the NATO-backed Kiev government. Meanwhile, Trump has continued to publicly mock the Zelensky government and its portentous fate, stating in an interview with Fox News on Tuesday, quote, "They, Ukraine, may make a deal, they may not make a deal, they may be Russian someday, or they may not be Russian someday," end quote. In the same interview, Trump repeated his interest in obtaining the best possible return on the war for U.S. imperialism, stating, quote, "They have tremendously valuable land in terms of rare earth, in terms of oil and gas, in terms of other things. I want to have our money secured. I told them that I want the equivalent, like $500 billion of rare earth, and they've essentially agreed to do that, so at least we don't feel stupid. Otherwise, we're stupid. I said to them, we have to get something. We can't continue to pay this money," end quote. Clearly attempting to adapt himself to the dealmaker Trump, on Tuesday, Zelensky announced he was prepared to exchange territory with Russia as part of any potential negotiations. Following its August incursion into Kursk, Ukraine has continued to hold on to Russian territory despite Russia's continued advances into Ukraine's own Donbas region and the failure of its own attempted offensives further into the Kursk region. Zelensky said in an interview with The Guardian, quote, "We will swap one territory for another," end quote. Zelensky declined to acknowledge which territory he would exchange, stating, quote, "I don't know, we will see, but all our territories are important, there is no priority," end quote. While internal polling has demonstrated an increasing willingness by Ukrainians to accept a negotiated deal to end the war, any loss of territory has long been staunchly opposed by the country's various far-right militias and fascist official military units, which are instrumental in conducting the war and propping up the Ukrainian government. It is worth recalling that Zelensky faced protests by thousands of fascists in 2019 as soon as he attempted to move toward a negotiated settlement with Russia of the conflict in East Ukraine. Since then, these forces have only been emboldened through years of state and NATO backing. The precarious position of the Zelensky regime was openly acknowledged this week by former Defense Minister Dmytro Kuleba, who warned of both the political and literal death of any figure who attempts to give up Ukrainian territory. Speaking with Ukrainian media last week, Kuleba, who was one of the longest-serving members of the Zelensky regime and was recently named senior fellow at the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at the Harvard Kennedy School, warned ominously, quote, "A person who signs a document renouncing NATO still has a chance to survive physically and politically, but a person who signs an agreement relinquishing territories will either be killed or ousted from politics. I see it as an extremely difficult task to find formulations that will describe the territorial issue in such a way that it will stop the war and at the same time not lead to an internal revolution," end quote. You can find these articles and more at wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.